Our reading for this morning is from the National Youth Gathering. It was the epistle reading for the day, and it is from 1 John 4, 15 through 19, and we have a video for you this morning.
Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God,
God abides in him, and he in God.
So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us.
God is love.
God is love!
And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him.
By this, love is perfected with us,
so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment.
Because as he is, so also are we in this world.
There is no fear in love.
No fear.
But perfect love casts out fear.
For fear has to do with punishment.
And whoever fears has not been perfected in love.
We love because he first loved us.
He first loved us.
He first loved us.
This is a reading from God's Word. On May 25th of last year, in Noblesville, Indiana, a student asked to be excused during a science test, and a short time later, the student returned to the classroom with two handguns, and he fired at two people. A 13-year-old student, Ellen Whistler, and his science teacher, Jason Seaman. The science teacher threw a basketball at the gunman, and then he ran towards him, and he grabbed him in a bear hug, and he wrestled him to the ground. But the science teacher did not escape injury, and he was shot three times. The students later told the police that during this entire time, Jason Seaman, was yelling at the students to call 911 and to evacuate the room. Now, Jason has an intriguing background. In high school, he had a promising future in college football, but an injury during his junior year nearly put an end to his dreams. In high school, he had been on the top of the world, but after the injury, his life began to crumble. It was during this dark time in his life that Jason realized that he had been looking at things the wrong way. Even though things were bad, he wasn't alone, and he never had been. God had always been by his side. Today, we're continuing our sermon series from the National Youth Gathering based upon real, present God. And the theme is from Psalm 46, that God is our refuge and our strength, a real present help in times of trouble. And I would say that when you are being shot at in a science room, you are in a time of trouble. And during the day, our youth did all sorts of things. They ate, they went to seminars, they had a great thing. But the most amazing thing, the pinnacle of the day for every night of the youth gathering is when the kids gathered together for what they call the mass event. And it's where all the tens of thousands of kids descend upon the arena, this one being the U.S. Bank Stadium in downtown Minneapolis, and they have this, I can only call it a production, and they have music, and they have songs, and they have dancing, and they have skits, and one of the things that they do is they have testimonies. They have people share about their own life and about their own faith, and Jason Seaman was one of the men that came and shared his story. This is how he recounts the events of that day. He said, "My own student came in the door and he began firing one of two pistols that he brought directly at me." He said, "I can't describe the moment where I looked down and my white polo was quickly turning red. Instinctively, I tackled the shooter. I held him down until our school police officer got to the scene." And he said, "Immediately, I started to ask myself, am I going to die?" Strangely, he was overcome with a feeling of calm and clarity where he knew that he was going to be all right. He said, "I knew that that same God who had lifted me from the depths in high school and was with me the day I married my beautiful wife and was still with me in the classroom, protecting me and giving me strength, that same Jesus was pierced three times also on the cross. And he was forsaken by God so that I would never be alone. He would be my strength and my refuge no matter what." He told the youth, he said, I'm a child of God, and through my baptism, I always will be. He said he doesn't show up and then leave. He is with you always through the troubling times and when you're on the top of the world. And I have to tell you, this little presentation that he gave really resonated with our youth. If you can imagine what it's like to be a youth today in our high schools and our school systems, it seems like every month or every couple of months we hear about somebody who's angry about something and they somehow get a gun and they come into a school and they start shooting at youth. And this is something that I never had to deal with when I was growing up. I mean, I have never, when I was growing up, heard about anybody being killed in a school, but if you imagine, our youth hear about it all the time. And it's something that they think about all the time when they go to school. Totally different from me. And yet to hear about a science teacher who would be willing to give up his own safety and his own life to be able to protect them by tackling the shooter, I must tell you, it was an electrifying moment. When he finished talking, the kids just stood up and started clapping, and they erupted in this standing ovation that went on for a very long time. It was an amazing, amazing story. It was quite a God moment. Would you have the courage to run after an attacker that was shooting at you? Would I have the courage to go after an attacker shooting at me? I don't know, and I don't want to find out. In John chapter 15, Jesus said that there is no greater love than this, that someone lay down their life for another. And it was beautiful to hear from a teacher who was willing to do just that. Our real present God lays down his life for us, and there is no greater love than his mighty love. So this morning, I just want to take a few minutes to look at that from 1 John, where the Apostle John talks about love. And in this little passage, I see three things. And the first is this: God is love. Say that with me. God is love. Oh, you guys are awesome. John says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Now, this isn't just something that God does periodically. It's not like God wakes up in the morning and he looks at his watch and after his coffee says, now, do I love the world today or do I not love the world today? No, according to John, God is love. It's his characteristic. It is who he is. God loves all the time. He is love. He doesn't just wake up in the morning. He exudes love all the time. In their book on relationships, Les and Leslie Parrott put God's love this way. They said, the sun only shines just as God only loves. It is the nature of the sun to shine, to offer warmth and light, and it is the nature of God to love. We are free to get away from the sun. We can lock ourselves in a dark room, but we do not keep the sun from shining just because we put ourselves in a place where it cannot reach us. And in the same way, God can help, not help, but love. Now, we can run away and hide from his love, but that doesn't mean that he has stopped loving. No, it only means that there are times when we stop basking in his love. There was a mother that heard her son come home from a party. He was living at home. He was a college student. And how many times had the arguments ensued where he came home and he was kind of messed up? Well, this time he came home and went into his bedroom and fell sound asleep. The woman, the mother, got up and sat beside him and just stroked his head. The father came in and said, what in the world are you doing? She said, he won't let me do this to him when he's awake, but when he's asleep, I can. That's what love is. God is like that. He wants to love us, but our rebellious nature sometimes... our rebellious nature gets in the way from that love. God is love. God is love. And if that's true, if it is his nature to love, then it also follows, and this is important, that God loves everyone. He doesn't just love those who, like Caleb, were baptized this morning in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and brought into the kingdom. Yes, we know that he loves the kingdom and the people in the kingdom, but God loves everyone. That includes when you go to work tomorrow and you see the people at work, God loves those people. When you go to school tomorrow and you see a bully kind of fighting against you, God loves those people. God loves everyone. He is love. Don't you know that when you go out into creation like I do all the time and see the beauty of his creation, it's not just for me. He created that for everyone. God is always sending his love. The only difference is that there are some who know about his love and there's some who don't know about his love. You know, Jesus spent his entire ministry trying to tell people how much God loved them. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they all thought that they knew that God loved them because they were so righteous and doing all the right things. But Jesus didn't go to them. Jesus found the poor and the broken and the outcast and the lost and the people suffering in their sin. And he came to them and he said, God loves you. I love you. You can't get away from God's love. That's what Jesus did. I've often thought that maybe the root cause of all humanity's problem isn't just the fact that we sinned in the Garden of Eden, but that sin makes us think that somehow we're separated from the love of God. You know, the atheist says, God doesn't love me because if there was a God who truly loved me, then there wouldn't be sin and suffering and pain in the world. And so they reject God's love, but God still loves them. And there are people who are racked in guilt about their own things that they do, and they know that God could never love them because of the horrible things they've done, and so they separate themselves from God. But God loves them too. God is love. It's just who he is. John goes on. In verse 16 and 17, he says, God is love. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And by this, love is perfected with us. Perfect love. Now, I'm sure you all know this by now, but maybe not. But in the Greek language, there's actually several different words for love. There's a word that means friendship love. There's a word that means sexual love. There's a word that means godly type of love, which is an unconditional type of love. And when John is talking about love in this chapter, he's not talking about the first two. He's talking about the third one, this third type of unconditional love called agape love. In Greek, agape love is unconditional love. And it is basic to all of us that we need to be loved unconditionally. We want people to look at us and look and know us completely and still say, I love you. I know you're a messed up human being, but I still love you and God still loves you. That type of perfect love simply has a hard time breaking through today. Have you noticed that? If you listen to what is pumped out on Netflix or Amazon TV or YouTube or any of the network shows, love is something totally different. It's certainly not unconditional love. It's basically a friendship love. It's I think I love this person because we're friends, but as soon as the friendship goes away, the thing falls apart. Same thing with other types of love. It's just pervasive in our culture that we've almost lost the language of unconditional love. There's a guy named Bruno Mars. Have you ever heard of Bruno Mars? He wrote a song. It's a horrible song, or it's a good song. I don't know. So he has a YouTube video of this song, and it's weird because he's got this piano, and he's got a rope attached to the piano, and he's dragging the piano through a subway. Like, anyone does this for their living, right? I mean, this just happens all the time. It's just a bizarre music video. So this is what he says. He's talking to a girl, and he says, to give me all your love is all I ever ask. That's good. Because what you don't understand is I'd catch a grenade for you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd throw my head on a blade for you. Yeah, yeah. I'd jump in front of a train for you. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you know I'd do anything for you. Yeah, yeah. Whoa, oh, yeah, yeah. I would go through all the pain. I'd take a bullet straight through my brain. Yes, I would die for you, baby. And now that does sound kind of like a little bit of unconditional love, doesn't it? But this is his next line. But you won't do the same. You won't do the same. I would do anything for you, but you won't do it for me. So I'm going to leave you. Go find somebody else who would do those things for me. That's the kind of love that we're inundated with in our society all the time. And this is pervasive. That's not love. Love is unconditional love, not expecting anything in return. Do you remember baby Cecilia? We were living in Phoenix back then, 1987, August 16th. Northwest Airlines Flight 225 crashed just after taking off from the Detroit airport, killing 155 people. One person survived. It was a four-year-old from Tempe, Arizona, named Cecilia. Do you guys remember this back 30 years ago? When the rescuers found Cecilia, they did not believe that she had been on the plane. The investigators first assumed that she had been a passenger in one of the cars that the plane had hit. But they went back and looked at the manifest and found out that indeed she had been on the plane. Cecilia survived because even as the plane was falling, her mother, Paula Sakan, unbuckled her own seatbelt, got down on her knees in front of her daughter, wrapped her arms and body around her, and would not let her go. That's agape love. It's a love that a mother has for a child. It's perfect love. You know, our children need to be taught that they are loved unconditionally. They need to be seen that love exists and transcends their ill behavior. That love, perfect love, is I will love you regardless of what you do. That's what children teach parents. You know, that's what Jesus taught us. He knew that when he became flesh and dwelt among us, that the world would reject him and eventually kill him. And yet, he came anyway, because it wasn't about us being perfect. It was about his unconditional love for us. John says that perfect love casts out all fear. And how can we unconditionally love others? John tells us in verse 19. He says, we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. The only way to love unconditionally is to know without a doubt that Jesus loves you unconditionally. It's a basic human need. We can't risk loving others only to be rejected, but if we know that a God loves us no matter what, then that gives us the security to love other people. My daughter sent a video of, this is my daughter Kyrie. Was it yesterday or the day before? I can't remember. Anyway, my daughter is going to be 2 next month. She's just absolutely adorable because 2-year-olds are adorable, right? Up until they're not adorable anymore, right? So anyway, she sends a video and she's playing on her desk and she's saying, no, 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 no. Because that's what little girls do, right? They say no all the time. And I think to myself, it begins. But I know that my daughter loves my granddaughter unconditionally. We were FaceTiming yesterday. My daughter kept picking the phone out of my daughter's hand and pressing that beautiful red button and hanging up. So I had to call again, and she kept pressing it. So finally my daughter took no. No, 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 no. So she took it. She's kind of angry and pouty for a while, but then pretty soon she came and just laid her head on my daughter's lap because she knows she's loved unconditionally. She knows she messed up, but that doesn't break the relationship between my granddaughter and my daughter, because my daughter loves unconditionally. At least I hope she does. You've seen this 100 times in children. They don't know that it's called unconditional love yet, But they do know that mommy and daddy love them no matter what. And that they're going to take care of their every need. And that they would give up their life to make them protected. See, that's the foundation of love. Knowing that God loves us and takes care of us is the only way that we can truly love others unconditionally. Who do you not love unconditionally in your life? Can you think of somebody? Well, pick that person out and think about loving them this week. I know it's hard. Maybe you could do something for them. Maybe it's just a mental thing in your brain that the next time you see him, you say, that's a child of God too. God loves them. God loves me unconditionally. Maybe he's calling me to love them unconditionally. Jason Seaman maybe didn't even talk about love in his science class. As he was wondering if he was going to die, he did have a strong sense of unconditional love. And he knew that the God that had been with him throughout his life would not abandon him. He was still there with him, even as the shooter was pointing guns at him. But God became real and present to him that day, because we have a real, present God. God's love is perfect. And because he loves us with perfect love, we have no reason to fear and every reason to love those around us. Would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, you showed us what perfect love looks like. We know that your love is so perfect that you love us no matter how much we mess up. Because your love is unconditional, help us to drink heavily from that love so deeply that we can't help but share that love to the world around us. We pray this to you, O Jesus, because your love is perfect and we are your children. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Have a good week.